Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to be with you this morning and just to get to open God's Word together. We are continuing the Living in the Spirit series, and this week we have come to kindness. So, what is kindness? We may think that's quite an easy question to answer. We know it when we see it, don't we? It's the family picking up the stray from the pound. It's the guy putting a few coins in the charity tub at the end of the till. It's the little girl who shares her crisps at playtime. It's the woman who marches in protest on behalf of those who don't have a voice. I think we'd agree that all of these are kind actions. These are good things. But is this really the kindness we're talking about here? Is this what kindness looks like? It is, isn't it? It's doing something that benefits another person, especially if it costs you something. Whether it be your time or your money or your energy or your materials. But is it the kindness that we see in Galatians 5, which is a fruit of the Spirit? Is this the behavior that the Spirit is working about in us to bring out in us? Does the Spirit at work in us simply produce more of that sort of activity? Or is he at work to bring about something fundamentally different in us? If those things that we think of as kindness, those actions, if that sort of activity is the result of the work of the Spirit, then it would be really easy to increase in kindness, wouldn't it? I could easily give you a sermon which is 5 things to do to be more kind. But I don't think this is the sort of kindness that the Spirit produces in us. It's certainly no less than those things. But I believe it must be more than those things. For the simple fact that the things that I have mentioned are things that anyone can do, and anyone does do. By God's common grace, there is such a thing as relative good in the world. Unbelievers, those who are not Christians, who are not filled with the Spirit, are able to do relatively good things. And so we can look at the world and we can see and we can identify acts of kindness in the world. But it does not mean that those actions have been born out of the work of the Holy Spirit. And so we need to be able to distinguish between acts of kindness and the kindness that the Holy Spirit grows in the lives of Christians day by day. You see, acts of kindness, kind actions, can have many different sources and motivations, can't they? In fact, I would say that many acts of kindness are actually deeply selfish and self-gratifying. I would suggest you only need to watch Comic Relief or Children in Need to see this. You know, failing C-listers who kindly give of their time and their talents to raise money, and it's really just a coincidence that their new album is launching next week. Truthfully, we usually do these acts of kindness not from a pure motive, but either because it makes us feel good when we do them, or it makes other people think we're good when we do them. Which, in a world where status and power is gained from your social justice credentials, is very important. So there is a genuine, what we would see as a kind of kindness in the world. It is genuinely a generally good thing. And it is a sign of God's common grace at work in the world. But it's seldom truly self-sacrificing. But what the Spirit produces in believers has to be something fundamentally different from those actions. Look at verse 1 in Colossians. Chapter 3 that we had read out for us. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Then we read in verse 12, as God's chosen people, clothe yourselves, put on kindness. Now that you are Christ's, now that you belong to Him, you have to have a completely different focus and orientation to your life. You are not to have your heart and your head and your mind set on earthly things like the praise of man and the satisfaction of self, but you are to set your heart on the same things that God's heart is set on. You are to clothe yourself with something fundamentally different from the world. Something which you did not have before you belonged to Jesus. And so we are speaking about something completely and fundamentally different than just acts of kindness. So there are two orders of kindness, if you will. I'm not going to say that those things in the world are not kind, but it's different. There is the type of kindness which is possible for all people to exhibit that is there due to God's common grace. And there is a kindness which is only brought about by the work of the Spirit. It is a fruit of the Spirit. One of these types of kindness can come from human effort. The other kind can only come through the work of the Spirit. It cannot be produced by human effort. Why? Well, because it's a gift. It's a gift from God. And this is the kindness that I want us to think about this morning. And I want us to think about how do we pursue that kindness. So I'll ask again then what is kindness? Let's try and pin it down. What is biblical kindness? What is the kindness that we're looking at here? I'm going to offer a definition which has three components. Kindness is the ability to serve others practically in a way that makes me vulnerable, which comes from a place of deep inner security. Kindness is the ability to serve others practically in a way that makes me vulnerable, which comes from having a deep inner security. This is biblical kindness. It's not something that comes and goes. It's not only displayed in acts of kindness, in moments, but it is a consistent and constant characteristic in the life of the believer, where we are willing to make ourselves vulnerable and to sacrifice for the sake of someone else. So if this kindness is so very different from the kindness generally displayed in the world, let me ask, where does it come from? Where does this true biblical kindness originate? Well, James chapter 1 verse 17 tells us that, as we know, every good gift, every perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father. Romans 2 verse 4 speaks about the riches of God's kindness. Where does this kindness come from? Comes from God the Father. Comes from God the Father. We saw in the first week of our series, didn't we, that all of the fruit of the Spirit that's mentioned in Galatians 5, it can be summed up in the one, can't it? In love. And we saw that God, who is love, not just that He's loving, not just that He's lovely, God is love. And so if kindness is contained in love and God is love, then we know that what James and Paul write is true. All kindness, the true and only source of kindness in the whole universe, is God the Father. Kindness originates in God. Okay then how is it produced in us? If the Bible speaks of God in these terms of being the origin of all good things, what does the Bible have to say about us and our condition and the human heart? Well, it's not quite as rosy, is it? Genesis chapter 6 verse 5 says that the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that his every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart, the human heart, is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. It doesn't paint a pretty picture of us, does it? There is nothing good in me. There is nothing good in us. By nature, we are devoid of kindness. Therefore, any true kindness that may be produced in us cannot originate from us, can it? It has to come from another source, from God the Father. And how does it come from God the Father to us? By his Holy Spirit. That's what we see in Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. And that's what we're thinking about, aren't we? That life lived in the Spirit as all the goodness of God is imparted to us. Look at verse 9 of our reading in Colossians. Paul is writing here and he says that the old self needs to be taken off and the new self needs to be put on. If there's going to be any kindness in us, there needs to be something new created in us. The old won't do. There needs to be something new, brand new, created in us by the Spirit. Something that wasn't there before. You see, for the Spirit to create kindness in us, he has to create in exactly the same way that he created in Genesis 1. There's a phrase, ex nihilo, out of nothing. That's how the Spirit creates, out of nothing. There is no raw material in us that the Spirit uses to produce kindness in us. Just as the face of the earth was dark and void in the beginning, so the human heart is dark and void of any kindness or any good thing. The kindness that is produced in you as you serve others practically in a way that makes you vulnerable is because of the work of creation that is going on inside of you as the Spirit hovers over the flesh, as it hovers over the chaotic waters of self-interest and envy. He creates something new out of it, something new in the heart of the believer as he imparts the kindness of God into us at the point of regeneration and nurtures it into growth through the process of sanctification as the believer abides in Christ. This is something completely different from what we see in the world. It's produced from a different source, and therefore it must be pursued by a different means. As I said before, if we want to pursue the kindness that we identify in the world, then yeah, sure, here's five ways to pursue kindness. Five ways of becoming a more kind person, but doing that, giving you a list like that would not produce this kindness that God desires to see in us. Because by very definition, that kindness, if it was me telling you just do these things, it would be a product of your labor. And what we desire to see is not a fruit of our labor, but a fruit of the Spirit. And so the question is, how do we pursue this kindness? How do we pursue the gift of the Spirit? And I'll tell you, the answer isn't behave better. It isn't do better. It isn't try better. It's believe better. Let's look at our key verse, verse 12. Therefore, and the bit before the therefore is because Christ is all in all and you are in Christ. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourselves, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Clothe yourself with kindness. And we read just a couple of verses in verse 10 that we are to put on the new self. Paul is saying the same thing in different ways here. And we have to say there's definitely an instruction here, isn't there? Put on, clothe yourself. Having said that pursuing kindness isn't about behaving better, it is about doing something. It's about putting something on. But what is it that we are to put on and how do we do it? Our cry as believers, as children of God, should be a cry for the Spirit to conquer the old self and to clothe us with the new. But what is the instrument by which we appropriate that power of the Holy Spirit? What is the tool, if we can put it that way, that the Spirit uses to apply his power in our lives? And the answer is faith. Faith. It is by faith that the Spirit works in our lives and displays his power. Paul says in Galatians chapter 3, verses 2-3, Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun with the Spirit, are you now ending with the flesh? What the Spirit has begun in you, are you really going to think you can now, you know, pass the baton on to you and you'll finish it off? And our answer must be a resounding no. I'm not trying to overcome my bitterness and wrath and anger and slander and malice in the power of the flesh by trying harder. Instead, I'm looking to the Holy Spirit to bear his fruit in my life. So how am I looking? What am I doing? Well, I'm just doing what I did to receive him in the first place. I am believing and I am trusting. As Paul calls us to clothe ourselves, he is not calling us to cover ourselves with good works, but to cover ourselves with Christ. That is how the fruit of the Spirit is produced in us. Clothe yourself with Christ. In the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned, what did they do? They tried to cover their shame and their sin with clothes of their own making, with fig leaves, with branches. Not branches, that'd be very uncomfortable. But leaves. They made their own clothes, didn't they, out of leaves. And they did it in order to try and make themselves acceptable to God. Oh no, what have we done? Let's cover ourselves. God's coming. But they were no good, were they? Those coverings were no good. They were not sufficient to cover their sin. What needed to happen? God needed to provide them with a covering. And what was it? It was the skin of an animal. Something had to die in order that they could be clothed. Brothers and sisters, Christ is the Lamb who has died to provide our covering, to clothe us, to cover over our sin and our shame and our guilt and our evil. He is the one that we must put on. He is the one who God has provided us to clothe us and make us acceptable to him. Here in the letter to the Colossians, Paul envisions every believer taking on the character of God himself. The new self of verse 10 is not something we must construct in our own power or work up in ourselves like some fig leaf. Our new identities, our new clothes are already given to us in Christ by faith when we are saved. Christ is given to us by God's grace. Through faith we are clothed in Christ. And now our new identities continue to grow and to take shape as we continue to grow in Christ-likeness, as we pursue knowing Christ better, as we pursue the means of grace. This is how we pursue kindness. 2 Corinthians 3:18, you'll be familiar with it, says, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord..." As we behold the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. That transformation, as we behold Jesus, that transformation comes from the Lord. As we look at him and behold him, we are transformed. That is how we become people who are filled with kindness. It's as we behold Jesus, so we take our eyes off of ourselves and we look to Christ. We are transformed. But how does that work? Then it sounds all very good, Doug, doesn't it? Let's just look at Jesus and we'll be changed. But how does putting on Christ, how does that produce kindness in us? What we see in Scripture is that kindness originates in God, is produced in us by the Holy Spirit, but before it's produced in us, it is first displayed in Jesus. So kindness originates in the Father, is displayed in the Son, and is produced in us by the Holy Spirit. If you want to turn back a couple of pages in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, I'm afraid I don't have the page number on me, but Ephesians chapter 2 verses 4 to 7 says, and this was a close second to sharing this morning with Kalichi what one of my favorite bits of the Bible is. It says here in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4 to 7, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that, so that, in the coming ages, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. If you didn't follow all of that, God raised Jesus Christ in order that he might show his kindness to us. The purpose of God the Father giving his Son to us is to display his grace to the world, which is seen in his kindness of giving his Son to us. And so what we see is that Jesus is the ultimate display of kindness. If we want to know what kindness is like, we look at Jesus. Paul writes again in Ephesians, I've got down here, or is it Philippians? That's terrible, isn't it? Ephesians chapter 3, verses 5 to 8. Have this mind among yourselves, which is, I was very late when I wrote this, I think it's Philippians, isn't it? Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But what does he do? He emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus emptied himself. He made himself vulnerable. He sacrificed. Why did he do that? To serve you, for your benefit, so that you could know God, and so that his kindness could be shown to us. You see, there's something very wrong with us, with each one of us. Deep down, there is something in us that needs to be killed. There is something in us that deserves death. You sense it every time you look at porn again. You feel it every time you feel yourself losing control with your children. You know it's there when you have those wrong thoughts about your neighbor. You know it's there when you struggle to be happy for the success of a colleague. It rears its ugly head every time you give in to gossip, when speaking unkindly about someone else makes you feel better. You feel it keenly when you're discontent with all the good things that God has given you. There's something deeply wrong inside us, and the Bible calls it sin. It's separation from God. We inherited it from Adam, but we continue its legacy daily. We keep it alive. It's because we've disobeyed God and we are cut off from his life. And so that's why we continually sabotage our own happiness. It's why we make bad decisions. It's why we hurt ourselves and the people around us. And there was only one remedy for it. There was only one way to deal with this sin that is deep inside every single one of us. This sin that needed to be put to death. It needed to be paid for. It needed to be dealt with. And there is no way that we can do that ourselves. We needed a champion. We needed somebody who would fight that battle for us, who would bear our punishment. That's what Jesus was doing on the cross. He took our sin and our shame, as it were, he clothed himself with our filthy rags. He made them his own. They actually became his, and he took them and he bore them and he put them to death along with himself. He dealt with it all. He took our old clothes to the grave and left them there. And in their place, he gives us these robes of righteousness to clothe ourselves with, to put on. Clothes that we haven't earned, but Christ has earned for us. And it's not fair. It's grace. And it is in that action of Christ on the cross, bearing our sins and giving us his righteousness, in that action, we see the astounding kindness of God. When we see kindness as being that, kind of makes all those illustrations at the beginning sound kind of pitiful, doesn't it? It should, right? Jesus serves us in such a way that makes, that leaves him for that moment entirely vulnerable, in a way that empties him. He is completely wrung out for you, so that the problem of your sin that you committed could be sorted out. That's kindness. That's what it looks like. That's what the Spirit is at work in us as believers to bring about in us. Jesus is the ultimate display of kindness in the entire universe. And so we pursue kindness, not by making a list of things to do, but by beholding Christ, by beholding Jesus, by looking at the glorious display of God's kindness and believing it was done for me. By looking at it and believing that was done for me. Do you believe that this morning? Do you look at God's cosmic display of kindness and believe that was for you? Because if you do, then rest in it. Rest in that kindness. It's not try and do better, it's believe better. So, what do you believe? What do you believe about Jesus and his cross? Let me say, if you don't believe that the cross was God's kindness to you, if you don't believe that, if you don't believe that Jesus was given on the cross for you, if you live in a world where it's you against the world and no one's got your back and no one's showing you kindness, then I get it. I get it. You've got to look out for number one because no one else is going to. You live in a world of deep insecurity, and I get it. There's no room for kindness in that world. There's no room for being vulnerable, because if you don't look out for yourself, no one else will. But what if that's not the case? What if that doesn't have to be the case? What if the richest, most powerful, most loving person in the entire universe said, "I've got your back. I will give you everything you need. In me, you will receive the abundant riches of the universe." That changes things, right? That changes things. If you truly believe that, that should change the whole way you look at life. And that is you if you are a Christian. That is you if you belong to Jesus. And that can be you, whoever you are, if you repent and turn to God and receive the free gift of life that he offers you in his kindness. And this is why I'm saying it's all about what you believe. It's about what your faith is in. Because if you are a Christian, if you have faith, if you truly believe that God has got your back, if God in his kindness has provided you with every lasting treasure, if you know that and believe that, then to heck with self-preservation. I've got everything I need. I don't need to cling on to anything else. I have Jesus, and every spiritual blessing is mine in Christ. I can make myself vulnerable to show kindness to others. I can leave myself open to be taken advantage of, because God's got my back and everything he has is mine. So what if I lose face? I have Christ. So what if I'm left tired and weak? I have Jesus. So what if I leave myself open to a lifetime of being taken advantage of? I have Jesus. If I believe that what Jesus did on the cross, he did for me, that is going to produce a far greater kindness in me than any list of actions ever could. This is biblical kindness, isn't it? To serve others practically in a way that makes me vulnerable, which comes from having a deep inner security. That deep inner security that comes from knowing God has your back, that he has gone to bat for you, that Jesus is seated in heaven right now interceding for you, striving for you. And therefore, you don't need to strive for yourself. You are free to rest in his finished work. You do not need to strive for yourself. And so if you truly believe that, you are now free to strive for others. If you have that deep inner security that comes from faith in Jesus, when somebody asks you for a lift to church, even though you know they're going to make you late, like they do every time, you can say, sure, of course, because you're no longer striving for yourself, thinking of yourself, but you're thinking of them. When somebody in church comes up to you with that bit of juicy gossip, because you have a deep inner security in the value that you have in God's eyes, you no longer feel the need to seek validation by running somebody else down, by hearing how they failed. And so you are free to rebuke that person who would seek to lead you into gossip. Because you have a deep inner security that all the riches of heaven are yours, you will naturally no longer cling to the things of this earth. And you'll be free to be kind with them and to sacrifice them for others. Because you have the sure and certain hope of resurrection, you will be free to give your life, body, and energy for the sake of others, whether it be your children, your colleagues, your neighbors, or your church. If you believe that perfect resurrection body is waiting for you, why would you hold back on giving away this one in kindness? What do you need to keep it for? Do you want to pursue kindness? Do you want to pursue a life lived in the Spirit? I hope you do. But don't do it by trying to do better. Believe better. Abide in Christ. Rest in Christ. This is what will produce fruit in you. Jesus says in John's Gospel chapter 15, he says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch, that is us, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, which is Christ. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Don't leave today with an idea that you can produce any sort of fruit of kindness in your life without knowing Jesus. It is only as we rest in him that kindness will grow in us. Closing thoughts then, and these will be very brief. How practically can we ensure we are abiding in Christ? And this is the only practical application I have for you today. How practically can we ensure we are abiding in Christ? Church. Church. Look at Colossians 3. I'm going to read verse 2. Verse 10 and verse 16. In verse 2 we see, set your minds on things above. Verse 10, put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. Faith, what we see here, faith is fed when you have a true picture of what the world is really like in your mind. So set your mind on things above. You look at your life and it seems terrible. It seems hard. But set your mind on things above. See the world as God sees it. Temporary, fleeting, with a future promise of resurrection. Set your mind on things above. See what things are really like. Your faith is fed when you continually renew yourself by studying the word. Be in the Bible. That is God speaking to you. And finally, your faith is fed as you have fellowship with other believers in the body of the church. This isn't something we just do on Sunday because we enjoy it. Much of many of us probably, there's lots of things about it we don't enjoy. We're here because we need each other to feed each other with Christ. Your faith will not grow. Your faith will not bear fruit if you are not being regularly watered by the word and you're not rooted in a church. If you want to pursue kindness, you need to believe that even on your lowest day, at your lowest ebb, when you are feeling empty and weak and every material possession seems to be slipping through your fingers, you have to believe that God has got you. Even when you are failing, you need to believe that Christ is striving for you. Believe that, and you will see the Spirit bless you with a bounty of kindness in Christ. Amen.